Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church, and today we are returning to covering food out of the Bible. We've covered a lot up to now with Book of Revelation and Matthew chapter 24 and Ezekiel chapters 38, 39. A lot about comet impacts and the seven trumpets and so on, but as promised, we are now returning to the foods, which are the gifts from God that are promised to humanity in exchange for humanity's obedience to God. And that's what's really critical to understand, is that all these foods, herbs, superfoods, essential oils, nutrients, these are all blessings from God. We don't just get them automatically. We really only receive them in covenant with God. God says over and over again, in fact, I read for you here out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, God says that if you are obedient to his rules, then you will be blessed with all these amazing foods. And wheat is one of the most important foods in the history of human civilization. It's so important that at one point it was used as currency. You would be paid in wheat. But if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So this is saying, this is the covenant. You do what God lays out as the rules of basic civilization, then you'll be blessed. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So this is part of the promise to the ancient Israelites as they are, of course, being led out of captivity in Egypt, and then they make this journey to the new land, and then upon arriving in the new land, God reminds them, don't forget that yes, you are blessed with these things, but obedience to God is demanded. It is demanded. And remember what I've said in other sermons, something that I think a lot of churches would disagree with, but it's absolutely true. I've said that God's love is conditional, and that's clear. God's love is conditional. He does not love you if you turn against him. He does not love you if you are evil and pompous and selfish and greedy and a mass fornicator. You know, all these horrible things that are mentioned in the Bible, you know, a sodomizer, a rapist, whatever. No, you do not get God's blessings if you are that kind of person. It is conditional. But if you are obedient to God's basic rules, which, let's face it, aren't really that demanding. You know, it's not like God is saying you have to work for him for 10 hours a day. God's not making you a slave. You can do all kinds of things with your life. You just can't cross certain red lines. You know, there are boundaries, as there should be, boundaries to your behavior. But God's not asking you for crazy things. He's just saying, basically, be a decent human being, and then you'll be blessed. And by the way, even that simple ask by God has resulted in most of the Western world rejecting God, rejecting him. And of course, that's why all of this will be taken away in the seven trumpets that we've already talked about. Or maybe humanity will choose a different path and we can change our future. Possibly, we'll see. But wheat is one of the main gifts that God gives us. And if you think about it, wheat is highly nutritious. And I'm not talking about that white flour, bread, processed food garbage. I'm talking about real whole wheat. The wheat berry, it has essential fatty acids in it. It's got minerals and vitamins and nutrients and fiber and protein and carbohydrates. So it has the energy that can power your day. And remember, we talk a lot about herbs and essential oils and, you know, frankincense and myrrh and so on. And they're great. They have a very important place, but they don't often deliver much in the way of calories. Now, grapes can, fruit can, you know, figs, definitely a lot of calories there. But grapes are actually better known for their natural medicine, the resveratrol in particular, which is why grapes are also, I think, the number one fruit that God wants us to know. But wheat is the number one grain that God wants us to know. And now if we go to the book Herbs of the Bible by James A. Duke, PhD, here's what he says about wheat. Wheat is one of the seven plants God promised the Israelites when they reached the promised land. It was used in ritual, in export trade, and was consumed as food. The first wheat harvest was a temple offering at Pentecost. Christians celebrate Pentecost on the seventh Sunday after Easter to commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. In biblical times, the parched or toasted grain was consumed or used as a meal offering. Flour for bread as well as starch and beer were prepared from the grain. Of course, somebody figured out how to make beer out of it. You want some wheat beer? Yeah, no thanks. Wheat starch was used medicinally as an emollient. Wheat germ is an oil expressed from the kernel of the wheat berry. The oil and kernel are high in vitamin E. See, and vitamin E, by the way, is a fat-soluble antioxidant that protects your cells from toxins. A lot of people are vitamin E deficient today because they're not eating whole wheat. They're just eating processed white flour, which avoids the wheat germ. So again, this is why the food supply today, I call it shadow food, because it's a shadow of what real food should be. So think about it. The modern processed food corporations, they take food that was meant by God to be a blessing for humankind, and then they break it apart, and they refine it, and they bleach it, and they take out just the calories of it, and they leave behind the germ. So they leave behind the fatty acids and the best parts of the wheat. So that's why people are vitamin E deficient and vitamin B deficient. By the way, there are B vitamins in wheat, as well as trace minerals, calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus. That's in addition to the trace minerals. Wheat bran is five times higher in fiber than wheat flour. It's a key element in a high-fiber diet that fights off cancer and heart disease. Wheat stalks were used as fodder, animal bedding, compost, mulch, and fertilizer. And wheat stalks were also woven into hats, baskets, chair seats, and beehives. Have you ever heard about wheat weaving? Some people like to weave wheat, and it's quite beautiful. If you have the right kind of wheat, and if you're good at it, you can fold it over in certain patterns, and you can make amazing things out of wheat, indeed. All right, and now if we go to the book Plants of the Bible by Michael Zohari, says the main field crop of biblical times was wheat. The fields were not irrigated and were fully dependent upon the highly unstable annual rainfall, which was sometimes so scanty that the fields did not yield their crops. Disastrous famine years are frequently mentioned in the Bible, which speaks of Egypt as a wheat land with abundant water for irrigation, a granary for its famine-afflicted neighbors. That's interesting. You know, famine, I mean, if you didn't store the wheat, you would have famine sooner or later. And even if you did store it, it would only store for a certain number of years. Although in the whole wheat format, the wheat berry, it will store for a very long time. The book says here there were two species abundantly cultivated in Israel and the neighboring countries. Besides bread, it was used in numerous specific recipes and as a cereal offering to God, the showbread. Wheat, the Hebrew hitach, is probably included in the generalizing terms bar and dagan in Numbers and kamach in Judges and, what is this, Aver, Omer, Geresh, Carmel, and others all through the Old Testament. Wheat is a member of the grass family. Its species are all annual, with erect culms ending in an ear of spikelets along the central axis. You've seen this if you know anything about wheat harvesting. It says here in the book that the domestication of wheat occurred about 8,000 years ago in one or more of the more primitive agricultural villages of the Assyrian mountains, Jarmo in Iraq, it says, and probably in the land of Israel as well, where the culture is even older and the wheat ancestor more abundant. So Triticum is the genus, and Triticum durum is the hard durum wheat that we know in the modern world today. So God blessed us with grass, and the grass produces seeds, and the seeds contain all the things that we need, the B vitamins in particular, the vitamin E in particular. And then over thousands of years, through natural selection, ancient people selecting the properties of wheat that they love the most and then planting that and then growing more and more of that, over time they were able to produce this domesticated wheat that was really great for cultivation. And of course that wheat still contains the vitamin E, the minerals, the protein, you know, all the beneficial properties, and the B vitamins, which are absolutely critical. I think most people today are deficient in B vitamins. But again, if you fast forward to, let's say, the mid-20th century, then all around the world, after we had mechanization of agriculture and then mechanization of food processing, we began to see processed foods, manufactured foods on the shelves in grocery stores, and this continues to this day. And of course, the oils in whole wheat, well, they can go rancid very quickly when exposed to the air, when exposed to oxygen. And so if you were trying to make cookies and crackers and cereals or baked goods, they would not have much of a shelf life if you use whole wheat, because they were exposed to the air, whereas the wheat berry will last a lot longer because it protects all the constituents of the wheat from oxidation for a very long time. So as a result, the food processing companies discarded the most important parts of the wheat, and they just used the carbohydrates, and then they made processed food from carbohydrates. Now then, as the world began to take up carbohydrates that are processed, both processed wheat and processed sugar, and then high fructose corn syrup, you began to see dramatic changes in the human species. You began to see a loss of dental health. Bone mass was reduced. People did not fully develop their jaws in order to hold the teeth, and so there was a lot of tooth crowding and a lot of cavities. And then to modern-day dentistry, where people have their wisdom teeth removed. Well, that didn't happen before. You know, 150 years ago, they weren't doing that because the human being was actually built up correctly because the human being had the correct nutrients. Whereas today, we're lacking those nutrients in the shadow food supply. And so people grow up weak. The men are feminized, that they don't have the male characteristics that they used to have. Today's typical man, a metrosexual man, very effeminate, would have been considered practically a female, you know, 500 years ago. Very effeminate men, they are lacking in nutrients, they're lacking in proper hormone balance, and they're exposed to estrogens and also gender bender chemicals in the food supply, such as atrazine, which is an herbicide. If you want to get back to wheat, you can, in fact, you can acquire whole wheat berries, you can get a grinder, you can make your own whole wheat bread. And that's biblical, by the way. And make sure it's organic, obviously, if you do that, because you don't want to eat satanic molecules of pesticides and herbicides. But you really can't find easily, that is, you can't find God's bread, whole wheat bread that's really made with all the parts of the wheat berry. You can't find that in the stores. You can find things called, you know, quote, whole wheat, but it's heavily, heavily processed to remove the germ and the oils and so on. But as you'll discover, if you make your own bread from wheat berries and you grind them and you put them in a bread maker and you add the ingredients, you know, you add the yeast and you add a little bit of salt, what have you, add some fruit and nuts if you want, you will make delicious bread that is truly biblical. And it's completely different from what you find in the store. Number one, it's typically a lot more dense. It's more nutrient dense, and it's just heavier. And one slice of God's bread made with whole wheat can be a meal. It can fill you. Whereas if you buy bread at the grocery store, even if it says whole wheat, it's all fluffy. It's mostly air. It's, you know, it's, again, it's shadow food. It's not what real wheat is supposed to be. So whole wheat that is organic is God's food. Now, I know today there's a war on gluten. Everybody wants to be gluten-free. Personally, although I respect everybody's dietary decisions and so on, I'm not sure that gluten is the problem, because gluten is in wheat, and wheat is God's food. I think that we have, instead of a gluten problem, I think gluten is exacerbating an autoimmune problem. And the autoimmune problems come from vaccines. People are being injected with peanut oil derivatives, for example, and aluminum, the different forms of aluminum as adjuvants in the vaccines. And it causes your body to turn against itself and to become hypersensitive to any kind of possible allergen. And then when people eat gluten, well, then they have a problem. But gluten itself may not have been the initiating problem. It could have been vaccines causing autoimmune hypersensitivity. We see that across the board, by the way. Peanut allergies today, for example, happen almost exclusively among children who were vaccinated. And these allergies can last for many, many years. Vaccines cause allergies. That's a known truth in the world of natural medicine. Gluten takes the blame for a lot of this, but gluten may not be the problem. Again, I respect your choice. If you have a problem with gluten and you need to avoid it, then definitely do so. But also look into the possible underlying causes that may have caused your body to have this autoimmune sensitivity to gluten, which is not natural, because people ate wheat, you know, for thousands of years, obviously, here, 8,000 years, if not longer, and it was compatible with the human body and human digestion and human health until we had vaccines and until we had all these, you know, modern day medicines and all these fake foods and shadow foods that have corrupted the integrity of human health. Now, wheat is also, of course, referred to metaphorically in many places in the Bible, especially in relation to the concept of the harvest. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 13, they have sown wheat but reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. And this is the Lord speaking out of frustration because, of course, the ancient Israelites have turned against his rules, as they often do. In fact, the verse before verse 13, verse 12 says, the plunderers have come. Let's go back even more. Verse 10, many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. And this is the Lord speaking. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. He's saying they've destroyed the land. They've destroyed my blessings. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat but reaped thorns. And then, you know, the rest of verse 13 there. So this phrase, they have sown wheat but reaped thorns, this is you should remember this phrase, because this talks about humanity turning against God and then the ramifications that come as a result. And then God says, fast forwarding to verse 17, but if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. And of course, we know how he destroys nations, you know, the seven trumpets and so on. But the lesson of the Bible is, all these blessings from God are freely given by our Creator to humanity, which is also gifted with free will and the ability to choose. But humanity, over and over again, chooses evil and wickedness and Satanism. Humanity chooses to reject God, for the most part. the church isn't strong enough or dominant enough across Western culture. Satanism appears to rule. Even in modern day Israel, most people are not people of faith. It's mostly a secular society. Same thing in the United States and Canada, the UK, France, and so on. And you notice, by the way, the churches are burning. The cathedrals are being burned down all across France, in Canada. I'm talking about cathedrals that have existed for hundreds of years, and they're being set on fire by the invading forces, and no one is putting out the fires. They're just let it burn, because these nations no longer have any obedience to God. They are no longer nations of faith. They are rooted in greed and profit and destruction, which is exactly what God was warning about in Jeremiah and many other chapters, including the Old Testament, warning again and again and again. And remember, the Bible ends with God unleashing his final wrath upon earth and destroying all of human civilization. So I guess there's a point where he's had enough. And it seems like we're almost there, doesn't it? Getting pretty close to that time, probably. I don't know. That's my guess. I suppose we'll find out. Anyway, one thing that's really interesting to me is there's a verse here that combines wheat with what we now know about the end times. And of course, this comes in Matthew chapter 13. And this is the parable of the tares. And it says, let's see, verse 36. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And that's T-A-R-E-S. So as you may recall, the parable of the wheat and the tares is earlier in Matthew chapter 13, that when the men slept, then the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, so that when the crop came up, it was contaminated with the tares, not just the wheat. So in explaining this, verse 37 says, quote, "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So a lot of references here to the end times, to the seven trumpets. The Son of Man will send out his angels. Who are these angels? These are the angels that pour out their bowls, or the angels that sound the trumpets. And we already know, what are the angels? These are inbound comets that are here to destroy wickedness on earth. And it even says, "and will cast them into the furnace of fire." Well, that's referring to the fifth trumpet, which opens up this giant gaping wound in the planet and reveals the magma layer underneath the earth's crust, this massive burning fire that has smoke that blots out the sky. And it's mentioned here. And then in verse 43, "then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The righteous will shine forth. Well, that can also refer to the illumination of the incoming comets that arrive with righteousness to destroy evil. And these are all references to Revelation. And this is all repeated, of course, in Matthew chapter 24 that we've covered before. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to another." And then, of course, it also talks about what happens. You know, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And then skipping down, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So again, referring to planetary scale destruction. And then if we look at Revelation chapter 19 again, we hear, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. This is verse 11. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Well, righteousness, this is what's described in the, well, Matthew chapter 13. What verse is this? Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So it's really interesting to me that here, even in the parable of the wheat, that Matthew, quoting Jesus, is saying that the end of the world is coming, that is, the judgment of those who are evil, and there will be, quote, at the end of this age. Well, what is the end of this age? It's the end of this simulation. And he says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. It's like Jesus is constantly reminding people that the end of days is coming. He even says, verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. I mean, it's astonishing to me how many references to the comet impacts there actually are throughout the Bible. And yet, it's easy to miss if you don't know what we've been talking about as far as the book of Revelation. And even, by the way, if you look at the seven seals, we're going to go into a deep dive on the seals, because now we know that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, well, notice that in Revelation 19, the white horse is a comet. So now we have to go back and look at the seven seals and the four horses as four different types of impacts. And we have to ask the question, do those line up with any of the seven trumpets and the seven bowls? Because the seven trumpets and the seven bowls line up perfectly with each other. What about the seven seals? Do they overlap the seven trumpets and seven bowls? We will cover that in an upcoming sermon. For now, just understand that wheat is God's food. That is whole wheat, the entire wheat berry with the germ, with the vitamin E, with the fiber, with the protein, all of it. And so storing wheat as a survival strategy is, in fact, biblical. This is what ancient civilizations did if they wanted to survive. They stored wheat. And storing wheat is very wise. So find yourself some good, organic, clean wheat supplies and stock up on those, and get yourself a hand grinder and a bread machine, you know, and be ready to make bread, because that might be what it comes to. Especially as these comet impacts start taking place. When the trumpets sound, you will want to have a lot of wheat. It'll be very difficult to grow wheat after the comets start to collide with Earth. So thank you for listening today. That's all there is today. Kind of a shorter sermon, but very important. I'm glad we covered wheat. It's, you know, wheat's not a glamorous food or superfood. It's like, oh, wheat, you know, it's like, oh, it's just bread. Hey, don't knock it. Bread is what would keep you alive. Bread will give you nutrition and calories when other crops fail or other methods fail. And wheat has worked for humanity for thousands of years, if not longer. And wheat has worked for humanity for thousands of years. So don't discount it. This is God's food. This is real food. Whole wheat berries. And remember to store wheat in the wheat berry form, not as flour. Flour will go bad very quickly because of rapid oxidation. Store wheat as the whole wheat berry, and it can store for a decade or longer under the right conditions. So thank you for listening today. Mike Adams here, abundance.church, if you want to check out the other sermons. And also, subscribe to our email list there. It's free to join. And also, I want to thank you for all your support of all that we do, because we have been able to send out hundreds of thousands of dollars of food to victims in North Carolina, in Tennessee, the Florida, that whole path. Our bases, our receiving bases, are in North Carolina, but some of that food is getting out much farther. Thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. We are in the food rescue realm. Now, this church has already, you know, run its first food rescue mission, so to speak, and it's only because of your support that we are able to do that. Much more yet to come. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.